celebrate the mother God used to send a deliverer. Celebrate the mother God used to send a deliverer. Now, I want you to notice, sometimes we use the word use and we think that means negative. No, when God puts us to work or uses us, it's a positive thing. So we celebrate the mother God used. So, the mother that I think about, I didn't put the name in your outline. Her name is Jochebed, if you want to know her name. I had to, but I didn't have room to write all that scripture in there, so I'll just tell you her name. I don't know how many ladies won't want to be named that, but that's... So let's think about this for a minute as think about her. This passage of scripture relates to her. It says, now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. You're familiar with the story. God gave to this couple a young man, a baby, and got to be named Moses. Actually, she didn't name him. The princess gives him his name. But the Bible wants to know some things about this mother. Moses was going to be the deliverer of the nation Israel. That's who God had set him for, but he used his mother to get that done. So I want to celebrate the mother this morning as you think about her. The Bible says, this translation says she was beautiful. Other translations says he was different things about him, his was. But she hid him for 3 months. Now, you know why she was hiding him? Because the law had been passed. The edict had come that all the Hebrew boys could be killed. And so when she's talking about hiding him, she did so because she wanted to protect him from being killed. And she hides him for 3 months. What I suspect is that after 3 months, she couldn't keep him quiet. But of course, little babies make noise anyway. But she said after 3 months. And she takes him and puts him in a basket and covers it with pitch, tar, and puts it in the river. But I want you to think about this. God had planned for this baby to become the deliverer for his people. But he used his mother to accomplish that. When I think about her plans, I don't know how many moms would set their baby out in the river in a basket. But I'm convinced that she was wise in what she did. I don't think this is accidental where she put him. Because if you read the whole account in this section in Exodus, she put him where the princess comes to bathe in the river. I think that wasn't by accident. I think she put him there, and she had his sister to watch for him, take care of him, so she didn't just leave him abandoned. She was there, but his mother made all those plans ahead of time, thinking, I believe, that if the princess saw this baby, she would have mercy on him. She'd have compassion on him, which took place. Because when she found him, the baby was crying, and she named him Moses because he what? She took him out of the water, took him out of the river. So that's where he got his name. But that was all because God used his mother to plan all that out. Because all that happened because his mother was being used of God to put these situations together for him. Because if you want to turn around the other way, without his mother, where would we have? Would we have Moses? We got Moses because of his mother. And she sent him, and God used him to deliver Israel. And so out of that situation, God used his mother. Let me read a couple other passages. One, further on that passage, you remember Moses grew up and some things took place. He killed an Egyptian. He ran and hid and some other things. But don't you notice this passage? When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. That's where God called him several years later in his life. Because when he grew up, his mom raised him for a period of time until she gave him to the princess, for the Pharaoh's daughter. Let me read the other passage as well. Now, God said to Moses, "Therefore come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt." You're familiar with all that account that when God called him, Moses said, "Well, I can't do that. I don't know how to talk. I don't know what to say," etc., etc., all those things. But God said to him, "I'm going to send you to bring my people out of Egypt." All that happened, what I'm suggesting is all that happened because his mother took care of him. His mother protected him. His mother cared for him. His mother planned for him and was wise in her nurture of Moses. I believe that one of the reasons Moses did what he did is because his mom trained him. What do you think his mom did while she was taking care of him? What do you think she talked about while she was nurturing them? Because at first the Bible says that she got to take care of her own son and got paid for it. Now, not too many moms get to do that, at least not get paid for it. But she got to take care of him. But I believe she was teaching him and instructing him. I don't know how old he was when she takes him to Pharaoh's daughter to stay and to become her son. But she cared for him. She nurtured him. I think she instilled in him the things of God as she talked to this young boy along the way. So God used this mother to send a deliverer for the nation of Israel. Do we have any connection to this deliverer? Do we have any connection to him leading the children of Israel out of Egypt? Our history as Christians goes way back to then. And we are connected to what this mother did and how God used her, and she was available to be used of God. And we today are still reading about and learning about the things how God used this man who, out of whom God established a people who we call the nation of Israel, we share about today. So, and God said to Moses, "I'm going to send you out. You're going to go lead the people out of Egypt." And ultimately, he does so. God uses him to do so. I had forgotten about how many people Moses was leading. It wasn't a few people that Moses led out of Egypt. The indication is it may have been a million or more people. Now, that's a pretty good job. We think, that God used him to lead. But all that comes out because his mother. Second one I want to look at is celebrate the mother God used to send a prophet. This time the woman's name is included in the scripture. God used the mother to send the prophet. It says that it came about in due time that after Hannah had conceived that she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, "Because I've asked him of the Lord." If you're familiar with the background, Hannah had no children. Her husband had more than one wife, and the other wife had kids, and she didn't have any. But not only that, the other wife bugged her and taunted her because she didn't have any babies. Hannah goes, if you remember, and prays and begs God to give her a son, making a promise that if God gave her son, she would dedicate that son to the Lord. If you remember in that account, Eli thinks she's drunk at first. And she says, "No, I poured my heart out to the Lord." And then he says to her, "May the Lord grant you what you've asked for." And the Bible says she went away and was sad no more because she believed God before it happened. And so as she thought about that, God gave her this son, this boy. So she raised him for a period of time. She refused to go to the temple until he was old enough to leave with Eli. Now, I don't know how many mothers raised their kids to give him away, but she raised Samuel for a period of time knowing that she was going to leave him in the house of the Lord to serve the Lord. Don't know his age for sure, but he's old enough, obviously, to function. So she takes him, and the passage I read is when she takes him back to the temple because she said, and she gives him to leave him with Eli, because I've asked him from the Lord, so she leaves him there to serve the Lord. I'm grateful for her willingness to carry through what she said. Now I want you to notice what else she said as she took him and left him. She says, "For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I ask of him. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there." She brings him and leaves him and said, "I've committed him. I've dedicated him to the Lord." Did any of your moms ever dedicate your kids to Jesus? Ever pray for your kids? Aren't you grateful for moms who dedicate their children to the Lord? I realize they have to choose to follow through with that. But there's a great blessing, I believe, in having moms who dedicate their kids to the Lord. And so Hannah said, I've committed him to the Lord as long as he lives. But I want you to notice a statement that's made at the end of that passage. She dedicated him to the Lord, and then the Scripture says, who worshiped the Lord? It says he. That meant Samuel worshiped the Lord. He had got hold of what he was doing, what it was about too. I hadn't noticed that until I was rereading it. It didn't say she worshiped the Lord. It said he worshiped the Lord. And so God used him. If you remember, God called Samuel. And at first, Eli doesn't know it's God. He keeps thinking it's Eli calling him. Samuel says, you call me. Finally, Eli gets a picture and says, oh, no, it's God. Tell him you're listening. If you remember the account in this scripture passage. And so God gives Samuel a message that he didn't want to tell Eli. Because he's going to tell Eli his sons are not going to live. It actually was his message. But let me read the next verse about it. Thus Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall. All Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. Hannah begged God for a son. God gave her a son. She trained him in the Lord. She left him in service of the Lord. And the Bible says he grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fail. That's pretty good. The words that Samuel shared. And it said everybody from Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that he was a prophet of the Lord. How do you think Hannah felt about that? I think she rejoiced in that. This boy that God had given her now is well known as a prophet of God, and God uses him to share a number of messages throughout Scripture in the Old Testament with kings and others, and that God uses Samuel. So I want to suggest here's another woman who dedicated her child to the Lord, and God used her to bring a prophet into the world, which we still read about. In fact, there are two books in the Bible named 1 and 2 Samuel about his life and how God used him as a servant of the Lord. So I celebrate a mother who used that God used to send a prophet. On the other side of your notes, celebrate the mother God used to send one to prepare the way for Jesus. Celebrate the mother God used to send one to prepare the way for Jesus. Now, if you remember the background in this passage, this is John the Baptist. The Bible says that they didn't have any children and they were old people, really old people. You remember the account of this, when he was in the temple praying and serving, God says, you're going to have a boy. And he says, how am I going to know that? And God says, you won't be able to talk for 9 months. That was his commitment. And that God gave them this son. Let me read the passage about John. It says, now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she gave birth to a son. And it happened on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zacharias after his father. But his mother answered and said, no, indeed, but he shall be called John. God had told Zacharias his name was to be John. He was to be a forerunner of Jesus. And Elizabeth knew that. It's interesting in Scripture, when Mary went to visit Elizabeth, and after she had conceived Jesus, and she goes to visit Elizabeth, when she gets there, you remember what the Scripture says about John, who we know as John happened? The Bible says he leaped in her womb. But Elizabeth becomes a servant of God, through which John the Baptist comes, and we hear about John the Baptist in Scripture. Let me read the next passage. It's related to that. Talking about him, it says it is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. John was to go before Jesus in the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and to bring about the message of God to get things ready for Jesus to come. And that's what he did. In fact, he points people to Jesus who are following him. He tells them to hold the Lamb of God, Jesus, the Son of God. But when Elizabeth conceived and bore a son, she knew his name was John. And the Bible says that because of that, he becomes the one who goes before Jesus. And we still talk about John the Baptist in Scripture. So God used her to prepare the way for Jesus. The one that she conceived, the baby that she had, that God gave her, she became a mother through whom we have John the Baptist. I hope you're seeing what I'm saying. These took place, we have these people because of their mother and their openness to God and their willingness to be used of God. The next one is celebrate the mother God used to bring our Savior. Celebrate the mother God used to bring our Savior. We're familiar with the account in Luke's Gospel of the angel coming to Mary and saying, you're going to have a baby, and she wants to know how in the world all that can be. And the angel tells her that God, the Spirit of God, is going to put a baby in her body. Let me read some part of this account, Luke chapter 1. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. And then I skipped a few verses. It says, and Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. I think it's amazing God chose Mary to send his son into the world. I've often thought about that. If I was getting to choose the parents of my kids, I'd be careful about who I chose. And God choosing someone to be the mother of his son, who would bring Jesus into the world, the Messiah, the Savior, the one that would be called the Son of God, the Son of the Most High that he talked about, God chose carefully. So because Mary was willing to be used of God, Mary was saying to God, I'm available. Behold the bondslave of the Lord. Let it happen like you said. And Mary, I think, understood something about what it would cost her. But she said, I'm willing to do that. Aren't you glad for Mary? Because of her, we get Jesus. Now, we don't worship Mary. That's not what the Bible talks about. But we honor her as a mother through whom God sent our Savior into the world. I'm glad for the Savior. I'm glad God sent Jesus to save us from our sins and to teach us and to show us about God the Father. And through all of that, we see the joy and the blessing of God using Mary, who's available to God, to send the Savior to the world. So I celebrate that. So we think about these mothers that in Scripture. There's a lot of others we could have looked at, but I want to think about those. Now, I want to think about celebrate the mothers God is using to bless us. I'm grateful for my mother. Many of you are grateful for your mother. Sometimes not everybody had that privilege, but I did. I was thinking today and yesterday, the last few days, how in the world I got blessed to have the mother God gave me. Think about it. Because you didn't get to choose your mom. Unless you're adopted, maybe you got help choose them. But otherwise, you didn't get to choose your mom. And yet, you're blessed to that, and I'm grateful for the one God gave me. Now, when I talk about celebrating the mothers God used to bless us, I want to include grandmothers, adoptive mothers, stepmothers, mother people, women who have a mother's heart, okay? Can I include the whole group in what we're doing? Because there are those who have mother attitudes who may not be physically mothers. But I celebrate those that God's put into our life. So let me suggest some things about them that I see in these passages of Scripture that I've just read and celebrate and thank God for them. First of all, they protect. Celebrate the mothers God is using to bless us. First one is, they protect. In the first passage I read to you about Moses, his mother took care of him, protected him, loved him, nurtured him. Where would you be if your mom hadn't taken care of you, protected you? I know sometimes when we were younger and mom did things to protect us, we didn't like it. When she said you got to be home by a certain time, you didn't like it. When she made you go do things you didn't want to do, you didn't like it. When she made you clean your room, you didn't like it. When she had some certain standards and she wanted to know where you were and who you were with, she was protecting you. We didn't always like that. But we were grateful for mothers who loved us enough to protect us. And today I'm grateful for those individuals who care enough about individuals to know about them, to care about them. I know there are times some kids think, well, if nobody, my mom don't check up on me, they don't know where I'm going, they don't know what I'm doing, they don't seem to know when I'm home or whatever, and it doesn't matter. They think they got a lot of freedom. But you realize that when you think about it, they don't feel loved. Because a mother who loves them is going to protect them, going to care for them, is going to say to them, I don't want you going to that place. I don't want you going here. I want to know what's happening to you because I love you. And we don't always, as I said, we don't always like that. But I celebrate. And so that's what, when I think about Jochebed, she saw to it, protected Moses, that he didn't get killed. He got to live long enough to do what God called him to do. And I'm grateful for my mom who protected me, let me live long enough to be what I will do today. Well, you think about it. What would happen to us if our moms hadn't taken care of us? I don't know where I'd be today. You don't know where you'd be either. If you had a mom who loved you and cared for you. They protected you, and you're here able to fulfill the ministry because she protected you and loved you. And had those sleepless nights and those times when she stayed up and waited for you to get home and you didn't want her to. But she was there anyway because she loved you. She protected you. So Hannah, to me, is an example of that. Jochebed, who protected. Secondly, they commit to the Lord. Celebrate the mothers God is using today. They commit to the Lord. Hannah committed her son to God's use, dedicated him to God's glory. I'm so grateful in my own journey that God gave me a mom who loved Jesus. My mom prayed for me. My mom loved me. My mom took me to worship. My mom celebrated when I became a believer in Jesus. My mom was there when I was baptized. My mom was there when God called me to preach. When this 16-year-old started preaching, you knew who my number one fan was whenever I was preaching? My mom. If she knew I was preaching somewhere in the neighborhood, she'd go. I'm grateful for the Christian influence. Today, the ministry I have is partly because my mom taught me about Jesus and took me to worship this day. I'm grateful for that. That Christian heritage, that background. And she committed me to the Lord and released me to the Lord to serve. As far as I know, she never complained when I moved clear across the country, thousands of miles, and left Kentucky and came to California. Karen's mom was the same way. As far as I know, her mom never complained because I dragged her daughter all the way from Kentucky to California, 2,400 miles away, to serve Jesus, to be where God wants us to be. Aren't you glad for Christian moms who commit their lives to the Lord, their children to the Lord, who pray for them? And I know their moms are still praying for the Lord, for their children to know the Lord. I would suspect that in this room there's some moms whose children you'd like to turn to the Lord, whose children you're praying for today, that son or that daughter, that grandchild or great-grandchild would be seeking Jesus and they're not. Thank you, God, for those mothers who are doing that. Grandmothers are doing that. All those are involved. Because Hannah committed Samuel to the Lord. We commit our kids to the Lord. The good news is we don't have to change them. That's God's job. But we can pray for them. We can teach them. We can instruct them. I want you to notice in those passages that I read, do you think Hannah told Samuel anything about the Lord? Do you think Samuel heard anything about her praying for him and how God answered her? Do you think Jochebed told Moses about what all happened, how God provided for him and how God used her? I think she did. I don't know if Mary told Jesus or not, but I got a suspicion she told Jesus about what took place. I think John the Baptist's mom told him about what happened. She trained him in the things of the Lord. And so I celebrate today those who commit themselves and their lives to the Lord and their kids to the Lord and their service to the Lord. The next area is they participate in God's purpose. They participate in God's purpose. As Elizabeth, God used to prepare a way for the Lord, God used her to be involved in the purposes of God. I'm convinced that every mother's children, that for every child, God had a purpose for them. And that as a mother seeks to follow the leadership of the Lord and to share with the Lord, they're participating in God's purpose. Now, We talked about the purpose of these I've named, which we know is quite outstanding. But is every child's purpose as valuable as Samuel or the others? They are. So, moms, you participate in God's plan and purpose in the child which you take care of and teach and train. God used Elizabeth for His purpose to bring the Savior, bring the forerunner of Jesus into the world. But He participated. And so I thank God for participating in the purposes and plans of God that God's using you, has used you for, and is using you for. For God has a purpose for every child that's born. And you as moms have the privilege of being a servant of God to help that child become what God called him to be. We don't always know what that is, but we get to participate in God's purpose, just as Elizabeth did. The last thing is, I want to suggest they share Jesus. Mary said, I'm willing to be the mother of Jesus, the Savior of the world. I'm willing to bring Jesus into this world, that a Savior and Messiah can come, that a Deliverer can come, that the one who would save the mankind, the one who died on the cross, would come. She brought Jesus. And so I'm grateful for moms who share Jesus today, who talk about Jesus, who make Him known to other people. Now let me suggest that moms not only share Jesus with their kids, but do moms ever share Jesus with other kids? Thank you, Lord, for other moms who share Jesus with other kids. Who share the good news of Jesus, have that heart of a mother who wants them to know Jesus. And they share Him. And I praise the Lord for that. As I said, my own parents and Karen's parents too. I'm grateful for mothers who share Jesus. We had the opportunity to have that kind of parents. I remember Karen tells me her mom sent her to camp, GA camp. Some of you don't know what GA is, but that's a long time ago. GA camp. But she sent her to camp because she wanted to be saved. That's why she sent her. And she got saved at camp. And the one God used was my sister to lead her to faith in Jesus. But she was there because her mom wanted her to know Jesus. Her mom wanted, and she shared Jesus. Karen tells me about her reading Bible stories to her and sharing information about Jesus with her. I'm where I am because my mom shared Jesus. Ladies, thank you for being women who serve Jesus, who talk about Jesus. Not only talk about it, but live like Jesus. Many of you give kind of all kinds of godly service, and you give of yourselves unselfishly in many, many ways as mothers. Nobody can repay you. So I'm come to say thank you, Lord, for mothers that serve Jesus. Now, if you're here today and a mother who don't know Jesus, that's where you need to start. Because you can't be the mother God wants you to be until you know Jesus. Do you realize that? Only Jesus can help you be the mom you ought to be. And even then, I know many moms don't feel like you do as well as you ought to. You feel like you fail sometimes. But don't let the devil beat you up. God has been using you in your life for His plan, His purpose, as you commit things to the Lord. But I want to challenge you today, if you don't know Jesus, that's where you start. Secondly, the greatest thing you can do for your mother is to give your heart to Jesus. You realize that? Because that means you get to live with God forever because you belong to Jesus. You receive Him as Savior and Lord and you commit your life to Him and you say, God, I want to go spend eternity with God. If a mom loves the best, wants the best for their kids, it's not the best for your child to go to heaven and live forever for Jesus. And so knowing Jesus means you please God and you please your mom because you're doing the best thing you can ever do with your life by giving it to Christ and following Him. And so that's my prayer. So today I celebrate God's gift of mothers. And I thank you, Lord, for them. I've talked about mine and my wife's mothers, but hopefully the rest of you as mothers and mothers' hearts have the same heart. Let me read this. It's an affirmation from John Killinger's book called Lost in Wonder, Love, and Praise. It says, I believe in Christ Jesus, the Son of the loving God, who was born of the promise of a virgin named Mary. I believe in the love Mary gave her Son and caused her to follow Him in His ministry and stand by His cross as He died. I believe in the love of all mothers and its importance in the lives of the children they bear. It is stronger than steel, softer than down, and more resilient than a green sapling on the hillside. It closes wounds, melts disappointments, and enables the weakest child to stand tall and straight in the fields of adversity. I believe in this, that this love, even at its best, is only a shadow of the love of God, a dark reflection of all that we can expect of Him, both in this life and the next. And I believe that one of the most beautiful sights in the world is a mother who lets this greater love flow through her to her child, blessing the world with the tenderness of her touch and the tears of her joy. Thank you, God, for mothers. Let's bow together.